Here's Brother Moore.
Hey, will you turn in your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 19 and take Romans chapter 3. I appreciate you watching the broadcast every Sunday, and I hope it's a blessing to you, as it is a blessing to me to make the broadcast. Our aim is to strengthen and encourage Christian people, build them up in the faith, establish them in the faith. As in Ephesians chapter 4, lest they be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And our aim is also that if there are lost people out there listening to us, that they might see the clarity of the gospel. Paul said his aim was to make all men see what is the fellowship of a mystery. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible said that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And so we want to get across the message to you. You that are sinners, you that are not saved, we want to get across a message to you. What is that? That when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, God Almighty made provision that he could be a friend to you. God made provision there that whereby he could do away with the enmity between you and him. In other words, your sin and your sin had separated you from God. But Jesus Christ became your sin at Calvary. And so God fixed it so that you could come into his presence by Jesus Christ. So you can be saved. No matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter where you've been, what you were doing while you were there, you can be saved right now by believing the gospel. That is, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again for our justification. Now, of course, we've been talking about rightly dividing the word of truth, because we must rightly divide the word of truth. We must separate out the gospel that we're going to preach. That gospel that was given unto us in this dispensation is the gospel committed to the Apostle Paul, and it's called the gospel of the grace of God. We've discussed that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, and when he appeared to Paul, the message of grace came down to Paul. That message of grace is contained in the fact that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. God can be gracious to any man that will receive Christ, believing that Christ died for their sins. Then there's another appearing that is referred to in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And at that appearing, the Apostle Paul refers to a day there, and he refers to receiving the crown of righteousness based upon the fact that he kept the faith, he fought a good fight, he finished his course, and because of that, there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. Between those two appearings, the appearing of the Lord to Paul in Acts chapter 9, and the appearing of the Lord when he comes for the church, between those two appearings is the dispensation of the gospel. Paul was given the gospel in Acts chapter 9. The gospel of Christ will cease upon this earth when the church, which is the body of Christ, goes away. That gospel is committed to the church. We that are in the church, we that are in the body of Christ, preach that gospel. Any man that doesn't preach that gospel, any man that does not accept that gospel wholly and completely, is not in the church, which is the body of Christ. Paul said, I laid the foundation for the church. I laid the foundation. People say, well, that foundation is Jesus Christ. Of course it is. It's Jesus Christ having been crucified for your sins, buried and risen. In other words, the foundation is faith in the fact that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and that he rose again. That's what we stand on. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So Paul laid the foundation. We build upon that foundation. We, the church, which is the body of Christ, are built upon that foundation. What foundation? Jesus Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. Any preacher that does not preach and does not believe that Jesus Christ died for all sins is not on that foundation. Any preacher that does not believe that Jesus Christ died for all men's sins is not upon that foundation. So the gospel is committed to the church. The gospel is committed to the Bible-believing people in the world today. But when the church, which is the body of Christ, is called out of this world, then that gospel will be no more in this world, and the gospel of the kingdom will be preached over here. Now, compare please here with that back there, and then we want to compare here with this over here. In other words, we want to compare the dispensation of grace that we're in now with that dispensation when Jesus Christ came as a minister of Israel. Then we want to compare the dispensation of grace, which we're in now, with that dispensation of the future when God will deal with Israel as a nation again. Look in Matthew chapter 19, and in Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life, or may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou would enter into life, keep the commandments. And then he begins to talk to him about which one. Now my point is, how could this man, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, how could he enter into eternal life? Well, he could enter into eternal life by keeping the commandments. And the man said, Well, I've kept the commandments. What I like. Jesus said, You like one thing. Go and sell everything you got and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. Now, people say, I believe in keeping the words of Jesus. I believe in following Jesus. And on and on. Well, there's what Jesus Christ said. And in that day, you would have been absolutely right and proper in following Jesus Christ. But in this dispensation we live in today, you would be absolutely wrong in following those words. You would confuse things and pile everything up by doing that. Compare, please, Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law was given to make man guilty. The law was given to make every man see that he's a sinner. Verse 20, Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. By the law there is no justification. And if you're trying to get justified by the law, you're just going to end up in hell. There is no justification for you by the law. That's what the Bible said. Verse 20, Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, But now, dispensation of the gospel, age in which we live, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. What righteousness is it? Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Wouldn't you rather have God's righteousness than to have yours? Don't you believe that God's righteousness would outshine your own? Well then, by your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing that He died for you at Calvary, God's righteousness are applied to you. Then why would you want to work to build up your own righteousness? You can't possibly believe that salvation is based upon the same thing in this age as it was back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's any possible way that you can believe that the two are saying the same thing. Now, we've discussed in the past, last Sunday and before, that there are differences in the dispensation of the grace of God and that dispensation that's coming in the future when God's going to deal with Israel again in Hebrews through Revelation. And we discussed that in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. The gospel that Paul preached in this age is different than that gospel that will be preached over there. We compared Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well then, the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, he didn't get from Peter, James, and John. It wasn't handed down to him from those people. The gospel they preached is the gospel of the circumcision. The gospel Paul preached is the gospel of the uncircumcision. The gospel they preached is the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel Paul preached is the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel they preached has to do with, in other words, that which they told people to do is repent and be baptized for remission of sins. The thing that Paul told people to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So they can't be the same. Paul's gospel is the gospel committed to the Apostle Paul by the Lord in Acts chapter 9. But whoever the writer of the book of Hebrews is, whatever he had, is the gospel that came from them. In other words, the gospel preached by these people back here is the same gospel preached by those people in the tribulation. The gospel that was preached in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth is the gospel that will be preached in that coming time called the time of Jacob's trouble. And it will be preached on this earth after the church, the body of Christ, has gone out of this world. If it's preached to people today, it's confusion, and that's exactly what happens today. The denominational systems today that preach repent and be baptized for remission of sins cause trouble where the dispensation of the grace of God is concerned. That's why there's a long-running argument between them, because they do not rightly divide the word of truth. Paul said, I certify you, brethren, the gospel which is preached to me is not after man. I did not receive it of man, neither was I taught it by man. I was taught it directly by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, then Peter, James, and John didn't preach the gospel to Paul whereby he was saved. The gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, is a direct revelation straight from heaven, straight from the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Hebrews chapter 2, look. In your Bible, in Hebrews chapter 2, look what the writer of this book says. Verse 1, therefore we ought to give them earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For, if the word spoken by angels, like in giving the law, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience, that is of the law, receive the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, that would be like in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews received the message, the gospel message, he received it from those that heard the Lord. Paul said, the gospel I preached unto you is not after man. I didn't receive it from man. I wasn't taught it by man. But I received it directly by revelation from the Lord. Then that tells me something. That tells me that the gospel that is preached in the dispensation of the grace of God is not the same gospel that should be preached over here. Then I must divide somewhere. There's got to be a division made somewhere, beloved. If you do not make a division, then you end up with confusion in a dispensation. And God is not the author of confusion. So what's going to separate it? The rapture is going to take place. The church, which is the body of Christ, is going out of this world. And after the church, the body of Christ, is gone out, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, will not be preached anymore. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached after we're gone. Repentance and water baptism will be preached again after we're gone. But that isn't all. We saw that the the church, which is the body of Christ, is not the same in this age as that is over there. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible said, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Well, then we that are believers are in the body of Christ. Verse 18, he said, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And yet, the writer of the book of Hebrews said that in Hebrews chapter 3, he said to those people, you're made partakers of Christ if you endure unto the end. If you hold steadfast unto the end, you will be partakers of Christ. The end is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the deliverer shall roar out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's God's coming unto them when he shall take away their sins. So, the gospel that we preach is not the same as the gospel they'll preach over there. The body that we're members of is not the same as that body of believers over there in the tribulation. But that isn't all. Notice the eternal security of the believer in this age as compared to what they have in that age. For instance, turn to Romans and look in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, the purpose for which God chose us is to conform us to the image of his Son. Verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. If God Almighty called you based upon his choice before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1 said that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Well, if God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, then he foreknew that you would trust Christ as your Savior. If God foreknew that you'd trust Christ as your Savior, he predestinated that you, as a believer in Christ, you as a truster of Christ, would be conformed to the image of his. He predestinated it. Why, look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. God sees we that are Bible believers, we that trust Christ as our Savior, God sees us having already been justified, as in AD 33, called and glorified. Why, the Bible said that we were crucified with Christ. The Bible shows me that we're buried with Christ. The Bible shows me we were quickened with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we were at Calvary in the mind of God, in that Christ is our substitute, in that Christ took our place. We are identified with him in his death. We were identified in his burial. When Jesus Christ died, we believers died. When Jesus Christ was buried, we believers were buried. When Jesus Christ was quickened in the tomb, we were quickened. When Jesus Christ arose, we arose. When Jesus Christ ascended up, we ascended up. And when Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father, we sat down with him. The Bible said that we're seated with him in Christ, in heavenly places. We're glorified. There's nothing that can change that. If you're saved by grace through faith, there's nothing that can change that. You couldn't go to hell. There's nothing that could drag you into hell. We have eternal security, the foundation of God standing sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But notice the Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse 14. Hebrews 3:14. For we're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. In other words, the Hebrew has to endure to the end to be a partaker of Christ. But wait a minute, turn to Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Please notice the permissive will of God. This we will do if God permit. But there is something in the context God won't permit. Verse 4, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, what's impossible? To renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified of themselves, and on and on and on. You couldn't miss that if you tried. That man that teaches you can be saved and then lose it and get saved again is lying to you. That man teaches you that you can be saved and lose your salvation, then go and repent, do it all over again, lying to you. It's an impossibility. It can't be done. God said He will not permit it. Those people over there that believe in the Lord as the Messiah, believe in His resurrection, they repent and are baptized for remission of sins, taste the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost, and then fall away, cannot be renewed unto repentance. God will not permit it. Then there is no possible way that we can take the doctrine of the book of Hebrews and bring it back and make it the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ. It will not work. You must rightly divide the word of truth, or else you are bringing people into a state of confusion. It cannot be so. God is not the author of confusion. We that are in the church, which is the body of Christ, are eternally secure in Christ. We are eternally secure based upon the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. We look back to Calvary and trust what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. He atoned for us at Calvary, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 11. You know, it amazes me that translators, the Greek scholars, who are always trying to change the word atonement of Romans 5:11 into reconciliation. Well, God was in Christ reconciling the whole world unto Himself, but those that believe in Him as their Lord and Savior have an atonement, and that atonement was accomplished at Calvary. We look back to our atonement at Calvary, but wait a minute. Israel, the believers over here, look forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for atonement. That's the day of atonement for Israel. Think about it. In that Old Testament, on the 10th day of the first month, they were to go out and pick that lamb. They would choose that lamb, and they were to shut that lamb up, and they would observe that lamb until the 14th day of the first month. Jesus Christ is that lamb. On the 10th day of the first month, He rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, went into the temple, looked around, and went back out until the next day. He is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist pointed Him out and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus is the Lamb. He rode in. He manifested Himself on the 10th day of the month. And on the 14th month, they were to take that lamb back there in that Old Testament, and they were to crucify Him. They were to kill Him, if you please. They were to catch His blood in a basin. And they were to smear that blood on the doorpost and over the heading over the door. Get inside the house And when the death angel passed over, if they were behind that blood, if they were inside there, and the death angel saw that blood of that killed lamb, he would pass over them. But you know, they didn't have forgiveness through the blood of that lamb. There isn't one word about forgiveness there. There is redemption, but not forgiveness. Redemption is one thing, atonement is another. God redeemed Israel at Calvary, but the atonement is not until His second coming for Israel. But God redeemed and atoned for the body of Christ, one and the same. But wait a minute. That lamb was killed on the 14th day of the month, and they went out of Egypt. They went through the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness. And on the seventh month, the 10th day of the month, there was a blowing of the trumpets. Israel was gathered together. Say that this represents the tabernacle in the wilderness. Israel would be gathered together with three tribes here, three tribes here, three tribes here, and three tribes here. They gathered around that tabernacle. The high priest took the blood of a bullock and carried it behind the veil and made atonement for the people on that day. Jesus Christ is the high priest of Almighty God. Jesus Christ, the bullock, was slain. And Jesus Christ, the high priest, went behind the veil for Israel's sake. And when he appears the second time, he will come again as the priest came out from there. And when the priest came from behind that veil, they knew that the sacrifice had been accepted. And atonement was made for them at that day. The atonement for Israel is in the seventh month. Their redemption the first month, atonement the seventh month. Not so with the church, which is the body of Christ. Our atonement is already secure. Our atonement is already made. We're already one with God. And by the Spirit of God, we're baptized into the body of Christ. We are partakers of the Lord Jesus Christ now and waiting for the day that our vile bodies will be changed and made like unto His glorious body. You must rightly divide the word, but things that are different are never the same. I thank you for listening today. Until the next time, good day.
Okay, thank you, Brother Moore. That's Brother E.C. Moore of the Berean Bible Study Association of Pensacola, Florida.